This is the message that Pascal Girard prepared for Sunday, the 1st of November. Some find it really difficult to make choices and stick to them. You might know people who buy things, and when they get home, they put them in their cupboard because they don't like them all that much after all, or because they aren't as useful as they thought they could be. And what about promises? Sometimes we make a promise quickly, and then when we find that it takes us too far along a certain road, we change our mind. If you do it too often, people will decide that your word is unreliable. Like they might say, he said he's going to do it, but we don't know if he'll keep his promise because he often changes his mind. There are people who can promise you the moon but never actually offer it to you. And when their promise is of the more down-to-earth variety, you've already become skeptical about whether they'll follow through on it. When you've disappointed people, it can be hard to regain their esteem. I invite you to read with me an excerpt from Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, from verses 12 to verse 24. And I invite you to read it, or to listen carefully to this text, which sets out the reasons why Paul decided to postpone his visit to Corinth. Now this is our boast, writes Paul. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that, as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. Because I was confident of this, I wanted to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and come back to you from Macedonia, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I can say both yes, yes and no, no? But surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached amongst you by me and by Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it's God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I call God as my witness, and I stake my life on it, that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm. This is the end of the reading. We understand from this text that some were making accusations against Paul. He's a fickle man. He doesn't know what he wants. He's a man who makes decisions via his natural worldly self, and he can easily contradict himself with yeses and noes all at the same time. Well, to understand the facts, we must look back at the last chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians, where we read that Paul had announced that he would go from Ephesus in Asia Minor to Corinth and perhaps even spend winter there. And there in the second epistle, we see that he even planned to visit the Corinthians twice, going to Macedonia between his two stays in Corinth before returning to Judea. Those who said Paul was a fickle man used this accusation as a way to suggest to the Christians in Corinth that he could not be trusted. So his change of plan, his change of mind, became arguments to accuse him of being erratic, and a snowball effect ensues. You can't trust him, and you can't trust his gospel either. That was the shortcut argument. And a way was found to try and to discredit his whole ministry and the gospel that he preached. There is a feeling that Paul is reluctant to get involved in this kind of discussion about himself, but he still needs to defend his ministry. This means the defense of himself actually becomes the defense of God and of the gospel. God is reliable. The Spirit of God does not change. The gospel is firm and sure in the promises God makes. You can trust God. So what is the reason given by Paul to justify his absence? This visit, he said, might just be too burdensome for them. Paul changes his plan in order to spare the Corinthians, he says in verse 23. It would be good for him not to come back to them right away, but to actually stay away for their own benefit. So does this decision take away all his credibility? Does this mean that you can't trust him? Should his preaching be ignored then? Given the type of people we should be as Christians who are serving Christ, there is merit in dwelling on this theme of trustworthiness, of credibility, by talking about our relationships with each other and talking about the reliability of God. So what kind of people should we be as Christians? To start with, do you understand who you are? Do you know how your personality works and how you function? Are you intuitive or are you an observer of life? Do you look at a problem from all its facets or do you let your feelings guide you? Do you put together a precise plan to which you stick at all costs or do you have a tendency to sail with the wind? I'm giving you extremes here, and it's not just by answering these questions alone that you will understand who you are and how you function, but it is good to think about it. Paul's personality is placed under the microscope in Corinth due to his change of plan. He appears to be a man of action, and there were people looking for a reason to attack him. So Paul himself points to two qualities, which are qualities that we also can aspire to. Paul says in verse 12, "Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace." Sincerity and purity, or holiness and purity, or simplicity and sincerity, depending on what translations we have, are qualities that Paul sees in himself. All the decisions he made were made for the best reasons and with the best of intentions. Indeed, his change of plan was even to the advantage of the Corinthians rather than his own. He's not a liar or a cheat. He's not two-faced. He's not changeable, acting according to his own whims. But he justifies himself in the following way. He wants to be the kind of person that God wants him to be: simple, holy, sincere, and honest, so that what you see is exactly what you get. These are true qualities that we should seek to develop in ourselves as well. We should aim to be the kind of people God wants us to be honest and sincere with others. These are qualities that shape our life. We are a work in progress, still unfinished, but let holiness, sincerity, purity and simplicity be our inspiration. So, having looked at the sort of people that we could be, that we should aim to be, we can go on and ask this next question. What relationship should we have with each other? Well, how can we answer this question quickly? There are so many influences on how we relate to each other. Selfishness, which makes us just want to be the exclusive beneficiaries of a relationship. Power, where we want to control other people. Superficiality, where we say the first thing that comes into our mind and we may lack sensitivity. Or violence, which is still a means of expression, which is not only physical. You can be verbally violent and cruel. And what do relationships that are based on grace look like? Here is a part of verse 12 again. We have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. Graciousness is a God who loves us when we do not deserve it. Graciousness is a God who accepts us as we are. Graciousness is a God who loves us when we are not lovable. And graciousness is a God who is constant in his love for us. This is how we would want to be with one another. This attitude shaped Paul's relationship with the Corinthians, and he continued to love them even when they were difficult. He was patient, generous, and attentive to their well-being. There are many places in the New Testament that show us how we can love others. The story of the Good Samaritan shows that we are to love others, whoever they are. I'd like to give you the gist of a text by Antoine Nouy that I read in the newspaper La Croix. Remember, the Samaritans were not friends with the Israelites. Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 is a testimony to this. So what can we learn from the parable of the Good Samaritan? There is little chance that the man who found the Israelite lying by the side of the road thought of him in a friendly manner, and yet he came to his aid. Why? Because he valued the Israelite as a creature of God. So if you don't find someone very likable, I would tell you that this is not really a problem. You don't need to beat yourself up about it, but remember that the other person is a being created by God in his image, and as such, he deserves all your love and respect. Your relationship with others cannot be based on whether you feel sympathy for them or not, or whether they're likable or not, but in their quality as human beings. Do not be ruled by your feelings, but be ruled by your decisions in accordance with the will of God. Love one another and love your neighbor as yourself. There are other places in the New Testament that clearly show us what love is. Patience, kindness, giving way to others, putting their interests before our own, being kind to everybody, and having compassion, being sensitive to the needs of others and yet aware of their weaknesses. So what kind of people should we be? People who conduct themselves with the simplicity and the sincerity that come from God. And what relationships should we have? Relationships driven by the love that comes from God. And if, in spite of this, our reputation is put into question and people express their doubts about us, then let's clearly affirm that God and the gospel are perfectly reliable. The opinions that Paul was unreliable became an opportunity for people to cast doubt on the gospel he was preaching. We see how it goes. There are people in our society who don't respect God or the gospel because of the way some Christians behave or have behaved in history. That's not uncommon. But there are many other battles fought against Christians that nothing can and ever will justify. What to say in the midst of these injustices and threats? Here are a few words. Verse 18, God is trustworthy. And Paul tells us why. We can make a promise to someone and say yes, and then 10 minutes later say no because we've changed our mind. God makes a promise and keeps it. Jesus is the yes and the amen to all of God's promises. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise. Jesus is the affirmation that God's promises will be fulfilled and his will triumph. Jesus is the proof that God has not changed his mind, but is keeping his promise to bless the world forever and ever. We believe that when God sent Jesus into the world, he said yes to what he promised. He confirmed his promises. So the promise to forgive stands forever. So that God's promise to be with us always and everywhere still holds. So that the promise to be the help and the strength of all our life is still valid. And the promise to save us and to forgive our sins is still and will forever be true. No unreliability on the part of anyone can or should detract from the reliability of God. No apparent failure on Paul's part to the Corinthians should make them doubt God's promises. Likewise, we should not judge God today on the behavior of Christians. Nothing we do or what other people can do can make God become unreliable or make his promises null and void. God is totally reliable. God is totally trustworthy, as is the gospel. So be reliable, be holy and sincere. Be a holy and sincere people. We're a work in progress. We are sanctified, but at the same level, we are on a path to sanctification. We're not as holy as we should be, true. But there are times also when we do things for the wrong reasons. The challenge for us is to be reliable, holy, sincere people. Let our relationships be formed by grace, accepting each other, imparting love, being sensitive to others, which is actually more than just being kind and polite. I'm talking about the love, the way God loves us. Let's be reliable people. God is faithful. He never took a step back from his promises because he made them in a hurry. And he never forgets a promise. Let's imitate him. Let's not forget that we even today benefit from the promise made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Let us not forget that God has formed a covenant with us, the new covenant in his Son Jesus Christ, according to what he said in Jeremiah chapter 31. And Jesus is the resounding yes to all the promises of God. We have a God who's totally reliable all the time. He's totally trustworthy. And our challenge is to be trustworthy for him our God, and in all our dealings with others. So let's get on with this noble task. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.